Question for you. Who was the first person to be raptured in the New Testament? First person to be raptured in the New Testament. Jesus. No? Well, I guess you could call when he was taken up to heaven. But the word rapture is not used there. And actually, it's the same word that I'm thinking of is the word that is used in 1 Thessalonians 4 when we'll be raptured, which is a Latin word. It's the Greek form of it. But it's Ananias, not Ananias and Sapphira. They were taken home, but not raptured. Paul, that's a good answer, actually. He's the second one. Because it says that he was raptured, he was caught up to heaven, right? In 2 Corinthians. John? Not John. No. Actually, the word is used, the same word is used for rapture. He's caught up, or he's caught. It's in the book of Acts. Not Stephen. He was stoned and he was taken up. Not Peter. Philip. Do you remember he went to, God led him to the Ethiopian eunuch. And after he shared the gospel with him, it says that the Spirit caught him away. And he was found over at Azotus, which is near Ashdod. And the word there is the same word for rapture, caught up. And the same word is used for Paul being caught up to heaven. And of course, we will be raptured. Or actually, the word being snatched. It talks about the wolves that snatched the sheep. Though the rapture is usually not called the snatch. But we're caught up to be with the Lord. But the first one was in Acts chapter 8. And that's what we're going to look at. Philip in Acts chapter 8. And starting with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 20, chapter 8, verse, starting with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south." And it's interesting. The word there for south is the same word for noon. And the only other place that's used in Scripture, it's translated as noon. But a lot of the translators said, well, noon, telling them to go at noon was not the right time of day to travel. So it must be south. It is used for south as well. But I think noon is correct. And as an aside, when Jesus went to the Samaria, to the woman at the well, he met her there at noontime, the sixth hour. And when the Lord struck Paul down, chapter 9 of Acts, it was at noontime. I'm not sure why those things came across. I'm not sure what the meaning of it is as the Lord speaking to them at noontime. But I think noon is the correct one because the directions he gives kind of tells you that it's south already. But noon tells you the time. And he says, go towards, take the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up, sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord raptured or caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found as Azotus, which is Ashdod area, Philistine area, and passed through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now Philip, that song we just sang could have been written by Philip. Here am I, Lord, send me. Because Philip is called in chapter 21 the evangelist, the gospeler, could we use that word? The good news so embraced Philip that wherever he went, he was sharing the gospel. We're told that after Stephen was stoned, there was great persecution, and they were scattered preaching the gospel, except for the apostles. And Philip went to Samaria and preached there quite successfully, except for maybe Simon, some question about him. But the apostles went down afterwards. But he preached the gospel. Do you remember who sowed the seed in Samaria before Philip got there? The Lord Jesus himself went around. That was the noontime. The Samaritan woman, she went out and told them all, come see the man who's told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? By the way, I want to mention, Emily came this morning with her friend, Brian. Brian's not a believer. First time he came to hear, it seemed open, but keep them in your prayer. You know, I was thinking, sometimes even at a remembrance meeting, you know, in 1 Corinthians, talks about when an unbeliever comes in your midst, they see the Spirit of God leading. They say, you know, God's Spirit is really there. And they see God working. So we pray for him to come to know the Lord, and Emily as well, to be following the Lord. But Philip was the type, was reading in a book where he was saying that, you know, sometimes we live our lives in nature, or we separate nature and the supernatural, as if they're two different worlds. When we as believers should be living in both at the same time. We're in the material world. Immaterial world. We live among people that all they know is the material world. All their science is based upon the senses and the material world. But the immaterial world, the spiritual world, the world above nature, the supernatural world, they are blind to. Because the God of this age has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine unto them. We were once blind. Do we recall what it's like? They're all blind. But we should be living like Philip. Lord, send me. If you send me to Samaria, okay. They needed to hear. Others had sown, again, water. And maybe it was, Lord, send me somewhere else. And the Lord says, okay, Philip, I got a place for you. Go down to this desert. Philip the evangelist, you know, go down to this desert as you're going towards Gaza. About noontime. It's real hot around noontime. It's not the time usually the ones who translate this verse as south say, well, it's an unusual time to tell them to go at noontime, because that would have been really hot. It's probably right. But, you know, there was a man there that God was working with, was using his word to speak to. And God wanted to give him further light about his word. This man lived, if you look up the internet, how far is Ethiopia from Jerusalem? Some will say 1,500 miles. Others will say 2,000 plus miles. Maybe it depends on whether you look at a straight line or whether you go around the sea or whatever. But it was a far distance. It might have taken a month or more in a chariot to get there. This man was a eunuch. Must have been a faithful, trusted man because he was over the treasure of the queen. But he must have been reading he was reading God's word. And let's keep reading this portion. Then we'll go back to it. So, Philip's, Lord, send me. And okay, sends him to this desert. He rose and went, he obeyed. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury, come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. You're in the desert, the heat of the day. Now, Philip, run. You see that chariot in the distance? Run, get to it quick. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Said, do you understand the reading? Elkanah, except someone guide me. He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And he goes through the scripture. Now, while this man was in Ethiopia, how did he get the book of Isaiah? Well, we don't know. You know, sometimes we wonder, and you hear this question often, what about those who have never heard? Well, you know, Ethiopia is 2,000 miles from Israel, or 1,500 miles. That's a long way. How did this man hear? And how did he respond? What about people all over? We don't know. But God gives light. We do know He gives light in His creation. And His creation comes up every morning. His sun rises, goes over its circuit, and sets. Every morning it displays the glory of God. And it's a witness to all of the earth. Its heat is felt everywhere. And in that same chapter, after he talks about the psalmist, David, I guess, talks about God's glory displayed in creation, then goes on to talk about his word. As those respond to the light that God gives them more light. Well, what did this Ethiopian eunuch respond to? Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. King Solomon dedicating the temple. And verse 41. And he talks about Israel, and if Israel sins, you know, to pray towards the temple. He covers all these different, somebody sins. And he says this, moreover, concerning a foreigner, you know, that was the eunuch, he was not of Israel, who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake. For they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. You remember the Jericho and all those in Canaan had heard what God did in Egypt. They got around. When he comes and prays towards the temple, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. I think the Ethiopian had somehow, God had gone that word to him. Certainly the book of Isaiah did. But he said, if you come to this temple, hear them, Lord. Solomon's praying for this foreigner. We pray for people that don't know the Lord. And you know, we can tell them that God loves them and wants them to be saved. And God gives some light. I was trying to urge Brian, go back and read Isaiah 53. Read this chapter. God has used this chapter so many times. I think Tom said on Wednesday, it's interesting to see some of these YouTube videos where Jews for Jesus, Jewish believers are interviewing Jews in Israel, which is secular. They don't read the Bible. They don't know the Bible. And they get them to read Isaiah 53. And they say, is this in the Old Testament or the New Testament? And they go, oh, it's in the New Testament. No, it's in the Old Testament. It's in your scriptures that you gave to us that was written 600 years before. It's talking about, does it sound like any historical personage that you've ever heard of? Yeah, it kind of sounds like Jesus. Oh, it's in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. The eunuch read it, and he said, well, who's this talking about? God didn't leave him in suspense. Because he acted upon what God had showed him. And that was no little thing. That was not just going to church on Sunday. 2,000 miles. Now, if you just come 2,000 miles to my temple, I'll hear your prayers. And of course, Daniel, of course, was another man who lived in the spiritual world and the physical world at the same time. Prays towards that same temple that wasn't there anymore, but laid hold of God's promises. And God led him. You're my Lord. Send me. And you know, this message is not just for Philip. It's for us. Are we living in the natural and the supernatural world at the same time? It's by faith that we see the spiritual world. The world around us only thinks of explaining everything by the natural. You know, the doctors, well, any problem you have, it's a natural problem. It's a physical problem. So the solution has to be a physical pill. Now, I'm not against physical pills. I'm not against using medicinal purposes. Paul wasn't. Told Timothy to use a little wine for your stomach's sake. They poured in oil and wine, the Samaritan, or the one who was half dead. So it's nothing against using what God has shown through the doctors. But there is a spiritual world. And there are spiritual problems that people have because they ignore what God has revealed. Because the light that God gives, they say, I don't believe that. Because it's the user's manual for our lives and what how we run correctly without stress. When we ignore it, we reap the results of it. Giving a pill will not solve a spiritual problem. The gospel, the good news of God's love to sinners and what He did to, when we had this morning to take away all our sins, all of them. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We couldn't put down a whole bunch of money or give all our money away to earn God's favor. It was all God's gift. And people with spiritual problems need a spiritual solution. And that's God's gift of salvation. As people act upon the light God shows them, He gives them further light. If He has to send one evangelist to a desert, you know, he might have been, how long was he standing out there under the heat? And he sees nothing. He said, Lord, did I get that right? You said, I mean, I was in Samaria and people were responding to the gospel. I'm an evangelist. You sure this is the right place? At the right time? And then at distance he sees a chariot. Keeps going by. That's it. Philip, catch up to that chariot. There's somebody there that I have seen and heard his prayer that needs to hear the message that you have. Run and get there. And as he's running, he overhears the eunuch reading Isaiah 53. And he doesn't know what it means. Well, that's why, Philip, you're here. Do you understand what you're reading? No. Come on up. Somebody show me. Who's he talking about? Who's this person? I don't know how much he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He hadn't been just at Jerusalem. It wasn't that long since Jesus died and rose again. Perhaps he had some things. But Philip informed him completely of who this man was. And his eyes are opened. Satan wants to blind the eyes. God wants to open people's eyes. There are people out there now that we run into that God might bring into our path this week that we know nothing about. And yet God wants us to say a word, whether it's sowing or reaping or watering, that He wants us to say a word of the gospel. There are hurting people out there. There are blind people out there. There are dying people out there. They may be people we know and have known. They may be people we have never run into before in our life. And God's Spirit would prompt us to share Isaiah 53 or whatever verse or what God has done for us and how He's changed our lives and opened our eyes and be saved. We need to live in the, yes, in the material world, but in the spiritual world at the same time. Sensitive to how God's angel or messenger talks to Philip, His Spirit leads us. And we're told by Paul, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. So that other people look and say, there is something different there. It's different than all I've experienced before. I want to know more. And they come to us. You know, sometimes it's easy. They come up to us and say, what must I do to be saved? Other times they ask a different question because they want to ask that question, but they're afraid to come out and ask that question. They want to ask us something else to get a conversation going. But in their heart, they're looking for a different answer. Jesus was so wise, like Nicodemus. When you read chapter 3 of John, when Jesus speaks there, he talks to Nicodemus straightforward as if he didn't even understand the question. He says, you must be born again. Because he saw in his heart. He saw what Nicodemus really wanted to ask. And he gave him that answer. And we need to have eyes to see that, to perceive where people are. Say, maybe God's showing me about this person. Maybe he wants me to be able to open the scripture or the question that they have. Because people have a lot of questions where they reject. Like, what about people who never heard? You know, that asks all the time. Well, there are no such people. Everybody, God loves the world. And it's not right to change that to the elect. God loves the world and sent his only son. And don't ask me how to put the sovereignty and the responsibility together. Don't ask me how to put that he's God and man together at the same. All I know is that's what God reveals. And I accept both, and both are a blessing. But when he says that he's not willing that any should perish, he means that. He wants people to be saved. He loves them. And we're there to tell people, this is the message that God has for you. And he talks with the eunuch. The eunuch listens, and immediately his heart was ready for the seed that was sown to spring up. And he said, here's water. I can't wait to be baptized. You know, probably the only water hole in the desert where he wasn't. But there was water there. You know. God brought that. If they go and could be baptized. And that's all he needed. That's all God wanted Philip when Philip said, send me. And he's raptured. I don't ask me how he's raptured. But the Spirit moves him. Philip turns around and where'd he go? He found over in near Ashdod, Azotus, some other place. And Philip, he's still the evangelist. He works his way to Caesarea, up the coast, and preaching the gospel to other people that God knows their hearts and what they need to hear. And it's in 21 of Acts that we're, I think it's Paul finds him in Caesarea, Philip, and he says, calls him there the evangelist, the gospeler. He's got the gospel on his lips wherever he goes. But as the eunuch, he's responded to God's light in creation. Maybe in the Solomon's prayer for the temple. In Isaiah 53, God has more light for that man. Look over at Isaiah chapter 56. If you would have read along a little bit more in Isaiah as he made his way back to Ethiopia. Isaiah 56 and verse 3. Remember, he's a foreigner and he's a eunuch. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What a blessing to this foreign eunuch. God had a word directly for him right after Isaiah 53. And you notice he says, within my walls, a place and a name. The Hebrew words there is Yad Vashem. Have you ever heard of Yad Vashem? the Holocaust memorial called Yad Vashem, placed in a name for the foreigners based on this verse. But God reveals even more to him, that God could speak directly to him, the foreigner, the eunuch, and give him a blessing. He received what God had given and obeyed. Philip obeyed where God sent him. God sent him elsewhere to preach the gospel. The eunuch, who knows what testimony he had when he went back to the royal palace, Candace, who knows? God knows. But God knows the hearts wherever they are. And to us, it's impossible. How could God know all the people all over the world? He not only knows them by name, He knows their thoughts. He knows their hearts. He knows our hearts. And the great thing about the gospel is the universal aspect of the gospel. He doesn't just love Abraham. He doesn't just love Israel. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody who believes in Him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing story. What an amazing gospel. And we know what He's done for us. He tells us, open your eyes. Keep your eyes open this week. Every one of you, of us who know the Lord. Maybe there's somebody that God brings in our path to give just the right message so that people will realize how great is the God who loves them. Because they're brought up in a material world. Everything is material. Our beginning is material. After we die, we're dead. And that's it. I think so many of these shooters that go in knowing that I'm going to go out with a bang. People will know my name. Because they have absorbed the world of just physical world. When you're dead, you're dead. That's it. There's no accountability. There's no hell. There's nothing to worry about. At least people will know my name. Because I have a miserable life here. So I'll go out and take a lot of people with me. I wonder whether that's their thinking. Because people don't know the scriptures. They don't know the truth of the gospel. They don't know the danger of hell. They think everything is just a material world. When you're dead, you're dead. Huge lie for our day. The Bible says there is a hell to be feared. There is a God who judges sin. Thankfully, those of us who know Him, we have a wonderful hope. And we can tell people there is a hope. There is a future life. And God has made it so that we can be saved now and forever. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You for Your good news that goes to all men. And Lord, You have called us, as that song was, help us to be able to sing it, here am I, send me. Wherever it is, whether it's to a place where there are a bunch of people to hear, where there's a desert place where only one person who just happened to be there at noontime, and we know He didn't just happen to be there. You knew He would be there. You knew the woman at the well would be there. You knew Paul would be there. And You spoke to them and brought them to Yourself. We thank You, Lord. We pray in Your name. Amen.